Good evening, everybody. Hello and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 130. On this week's show, we are going to be exploring Universal with special guest Becky Mankin of MEI Travel. To my left, as always, though, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
And as previously stated, we have Becky Mankin herself joining us via Skype. Say hello, Becky.
Hello, Becky.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, or spending some time over at Universal Studios, of course, visit the experts over at MEI-travel.com, where Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. Right now, you're listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/pogomix. His website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DisMagicHourPod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. We're on Facebook. If you look for Disney Magic Hour, you can add yourself to the group. If you're already in there, add your friends. Always great to have more people. You can find this show on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And Melissa, Instagram for photos and Patreon for support. Where can everyone find that?
On Instagram, we're at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And if you head over to patreon.com/DisneyMagicHour, you can find ways to support the show there.
And just for all the Patreon people, I want to just let you know, we put up a new post today, and I actually shared my old notes for when we reviewed Gnomemobile. I think it was like episode 76, if I remember correctly. And that was one of the stranger films we ever watched. So people have asked, you know, what do you do when you watch these movies? So I shared it out. I'm going to start doing that going forward for the Patreon people so you can see the method behind the madness. I want to take a moment and thank everyone who gave us the feedback on the Rolly Crump interview from last week. Of course, Disney legend Rolly Crump was with us, and it was really something. But what made it even better was everyone's feedback on it. I will try my best to get you more interviews in that vein, and we will do our best for that. But let's move on to this week. There is a lot to discuss, and of course, we are going to discuss it with our special guest. You all definitely know her from various other shows, and she's on the interwebs, and of course is the woman behind it all over at MEI Travel. Becky Mankin, welcome.
Well, it's great to be back with you guys again. However, I'm a little disappointed that you put me like right in the next one after Rolly Crump. That's not fair. So many levels. And it's just, that's bad.
That's the way we roll, though. Look, we had to put you in somewhere, and it wasn't going to be after Gnomemobile. So you get
thank
Rolly.
You, I think.
Okay. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, Becky, we're here to talk this week about something that I always see as a weird thing that I never really truly understand in the Disney community. Even though, like, this is the Disney Magic Hour, our website, which is Last Gen Podcast, we talk about a lot of things outside of Disney. And Universal is something that we visited on the show before, because when I first started coming back to Florida when I was like 18, 19 years old, it wasn't Disney World that captured me, quite frankly. And it's not a knock, but it was Universal Studios, because I'm a film guy. You know, I'm fascinated by the, you know, making films, and they were all movies that I had a very large connection to in some cases. You know, especially when you talk about Hitchcock and Jaws, of course, you know, things that are not there anymore. But still, that whole world was right up my alley. So I wanted to start putting a little more light on Universal, because there is a weird thing in the community, as I said, where some people feel like they can't have fun in more than one location. And I've never really understood it. And maybe it's just because Universal isn't just as well known. Maybe they don't know about the things that they should know about. So more fun equals better times. And that to me is Universal. So, you know, what's your thought track on Universal and such?
Yeah, this is something that's so interesting to me as well, because I'm a big Disney fan. I'm there with you. I have Hakuna Matata on the inside of my wedding ring, if that tells you how far this love for this Disney thing has gone for me. However, I am a traveler. I love to experience different things. I know that there are more than one experience out there besides just going to a Disney location. And within the Disney fan community, it's always just kind of bewildered me a little bit that some people are so anti, you know, it's the bad side, it's the dark side, going over to Universal Studios. And I've always kind of looked at it like, first of all, you can enjoy New York and enjoy Las Vegas. You don't have to dislike one or the other. You can go to one weekend and to another weekend. It's fine to like them both. And taking it even a step further, really great competition breeds really great experiences. So as the competition between Universal and Disney has heated up a little bit, one comes out with an amazing attraction and the other one comes out to beat it ever so slightly. Or massively, like when you walk into Diagon Alley and you see the detail and the level of storytelling that was not only on the level of what Disney does, but well beyond it. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the things that we're seeing from Disney is also going to reflect some of the technology and some of the storytelling things that they did in Diagon Alley to overtake them. So for me, having them both is a huge benefit to us, the user, at the end of the day, because we are going to benefit. We're going to be the benefactors of all of that wonderful competition between the two. And quite frankly, sometimes, you know, Disney's trying to focus on a certain demographic, and Universal is a little bit more edgy and looking at a different type of demographic. I mean, can you imagine Halloween Horror Nights in Disney the way that we see it at Universal? Absolutely no way.
No.
But I think that the Disney fan, I mean, the Uber fan, those of us who are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, not having younger children, but we still like that Disney magic. There's other things that are available at Universal that many within that that demographic space are going to enjoy as well. I think, though, that some people are maybe a little bit nervous about it because they might be thinking of Universal 15 or 20 years ago versus what is there now or what the resort has become.
And I think that, you know, what you were saying towards competition, if you don't think that when Diagon Alley specifically opened up, if you don't think right across the way there, you know, some people were like, we got to up. Let's up this. You know, that definitely happens. And that's the best for us. There's no loss for the consumer when healthy competition is present. All it does is benefit us.
Absolutely. You know? And we see that between them. We see that at the hotels. We see it at the theme parks. We see it in the food offerings. We see it in the nighttime offerings. And I think that anybody who kind of is attracted to what is available at both locations would do themselves a real justice to go and maybe stay 5 nights at Disney and then do maybe 3 nights at Universal and get the best of both worlds on their vacation. Yeah.
So with so much to do, you know, with so much that Universal does have, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff that's coming up. And I think through that, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff that it currently is already offering. And we have your questions from the Facebook page that we're going to answer at the close of the episode. So we got a lot of ground to cover. So why don't we jump into the thing that everyone loves, our attractions, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we want the best. We want something new. We want something cool in the attractions. And Universal has another one coming out any day now with Fast and the Furious Supercharged. It's slated for spring of 2018, which wasn't that like literally yesterday, like according to the calendar?
Yeah, like a couple days ago, yeah.
So it should be open.
Technically
spring. So any day now, this is supposed to open. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like everything that I've ever seen recently out of Universal, I don't think they've been home runs. I think Kong was close, but no cigar. And
like a triple?
Kong is a strong double. Kong's a strong double, especially when the animatronic did roar at me. Because the first couple of times it went on it, it was just timing or whatever. But the animatronic just looked at me and I was like, yeah, that's cool.
One of them
but
was then, a soft opening. We were there for
soft opening. And that you're signing up to say like, okay, some things may not click.
Yeah.
When it roared, I was like, okay, all right, here we go. Let's get yelled at. So Fast and the Furious, to what I have heard, is similar in delivery to what Kong is, where it's like the Tunnel 3D. But much like in the way that when I first heard about Flight of Passage over at Pandora, my brain definitely said, well, it's based on a movie I don't really care about. And it's a ride system that sort of seems very, very familiar. And will I care? That turned out to be one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in a theme park. So I'm going to wait and hope that Fast and the Furious comes out and it's just something I did not expect. And it, you know, knocks me, you know, right on my butt. But Melissa, you know, talking about Kong, I know that you pointed out a couple of things in the past about Kong that you thought limited it from becoming bigger. But hopefully, I know you were saying once to me before how it could get better.
Yeah, so if like Fast and Furious is going to be like Kong with the screens, I mean, when you're in Kong and you're going by and the screens are showing like that movement, you feel that movement. You know, they did a good job with that. It's just limited because of the ride vehicle. You know, you can't really see out that much. And if you're, you know, up front, it's a little more difficult. So if you open up those ride vehicles for Fast and the Furious, like you might get like some really cool feeling of speed, you know, which is, I'm assuming, what they're going for. And it might really, you know, really hit.
Also, there is parts of this attraction that when we look, you know, in the little, you know, the looking glass down the line, there's a, you know, a cart ride attraction that, you know, that will probably be coming to the parks eventually. And this might be the first step towards whatever we see in there. So that's kind of exciting to me. Becky, what have you heard anything about Fast and Furious?
Well, Fast and Furious is one of those movies that I haven't really followed. I'm not a huge fan, but I've seen one or two. But I know that there's a huge number of people who are absolutely huge fans that love the string of movies that will be there and sleep overnight to ride the ride. I've heard really good things are coming with it. I know that the people at Universal are excited about it. I can't wait to see it myself. I'm hoping to see it when it opens. So I'll be able to speak much more to it when I'm able to ride it, like all of us will. But it also goes to talking about the other little elephant in the room, which is the screens. And I know that a lot of the rides at Universal are those 3D screen experiences, and some are done much better than others, obviously. I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man was an amazing way to bring 3D to where you're going from reality into virtual, into reality again, into virtual. That was done really well. And I know that there's several others that are done there. But the Kong experience for me, I was too nervous the entire time wondering what was going to happen next and if, you know, the huge monkey is going to grab the cart and, you know, tip it over, and then I was going to be eaten by a velociraptor or something. But I did enjoy that myself. But there is something to be said, like what you're talking about, the limited scope of vision in that vehicle. The ones that I've really enjoyed have been the ones that have been open, where you can see above you and behind you and you and to the side. And there is something to be said for that.
Yeah, the tactile stuff always, you know, lends to it. Like you were saying with Spider-Man, that to me, honestly, to me, that's the best version still of those types of attractions. I think that is just a phenomenal attraction. The update that they did to the visuals
a couple
of years ago, or maybe a little more than that, I thought it was it just refreshed it perfectly. I was like, okay, great. This is now timeless for me. Like, this attraction is timeless.
And I still have that. Oh, sorry.
No.
I still have that amazing feeling the very first time where you fall and you're falling stories and stories and stories. And if you really feel like you're falling, And then, spoiler alert, you know, that you pretty much moved no more than 12 or 18 inches. You feel like you've just fallen 65 feet to your almost death if it wasn't for Spider-Man.
And I, the thing that always struck, you know, stuck out to me was the, what you were saying before, you know, the interaction of the 3D to the real life. So when Hobgoblin throws a pumpkin bomb at you, it goes from the 3D to an actual thing that blows up above you. And I still think it's one of the, just one of the most impressive things I ever saw. And also, I love the legend behind it where I don't know if this is true, but I don't care if it's not. I'm just going to tell myself it is. That Spielberg, you know, he was on site, you know, here and there for Jurassic, and they asked him his opinions of the story and the flow of the Spider-Man attraction, and he gave his input. So it might be the closest I ever get to a Steven Spielberg co-directed superhero movie, you know? So I hope that thing never goes away, even though who knows what's going to happen in the future. But that's, you know, that's coming up soon. I'm really hoping they hit this one out of the park, because Diagon Alley and The Wizarding World of Harry Potter were such a step up in a way that shocked me. I was like, my God, I can't believe they went and did this. And I wasn't as thrilled with Kong and with Jimmy Fallon. So I'm looking towards the future to get wowed again in a way that I just would not expect, because, man, when we're talking about like lands, who can, I, as much as I love a lot of the other things in Florida, nothing's topping Diagon Alley for themed land. It's not.
Yeah. And the one thing that they did do with Diagon Alley that they had the benefit of was space. They did allocate a lot of space for that. So therefore you are feeling much more immersed in the experience because you are walking through it rather than having a screen presented in front of you. And I think that that comes down to just the limited amount of space that the park has. They just don't have, you know, 43 acres of land around them that they can procure at any moment to build, you know, huge show buildings. So I think that while they're trying to keep everything fresh and they're trying to update and they're trying to bring new experiences to the resort in as a whole, they are pretty limited by what they have around them. I mean, you forget that across the street right behind one of the show buildings is a school.
And is it really?
On the other side, yeah, there's a school right on the other side of the Universal property. And there's, you know, apartment buildings and then there's a freeway that locks you in on the other side. So it's kind of like the old Disneyland problem that Walt had when he just didn't buy enough space, not foreseeing what was going to happen. So I think that they go to the screens at this point just because of the space limitations that they may have while still trying to bring the most immersive interactive experiences they possibly can given the limitations. But when they do it and they do it right and they're able to grab space like Diagon Alley or Volcano Bay for what they've done there is just mind-blowing. And if you haven't done Volcano Bay yet, it is the true type of water theme park that, you know, when you think a water park, this really does take it to a whole nother level. And what they did with the limited space there is amazing, given the limitations they have on all sides.
And I think that's another, you know, the whole Volcano Bay is another example of that weird dichotomy in the, I don't want to really get into this too much, but the weird dichotomy in the community again, where people based it on opening weekend. I saw a lot of people, they, you know, the opening weekend maybe didn't go as smooth as written on paper. And so then you had certain people just writing it off, which I just think is craziness. So anyways.
They did, in all honesty, they've got a lot of huge technologies that they brought to the table, much like when Disney did with FastPass at the very beginning or with anything else that they roll out. And it's just like a restaurant. And I've always kind of thought this, that I've been lucky enough to go to a lot of the media openings and to experience things when they first opened the doors. But we're never expected, or I've never expected anything to be 100% in perfect working order. I'm going to go, I'm going to get a taste for what's going on so I can talk about it. But then I'm going to go back maybe a month or two or three later when they've got everything together. And that's the same thing I do with hotels, as I do with experiences, as I do with restaurants, because nothing is ever going to be 100% operational, even though we think that, oh, yeah, absolutely, it should be. Yeah, it should be, but it's just not going to be. It's just reality.
Yeah, you can never, you just can never plan for, oh, what if tens of thousands of people were here? You know, that's just a different thing.
I mean, if you go back to even thinking about Disneyland at the very beginning, they only thought it was going to be a few thousand, and then look what showed up, and oh, by the way, the ladies in heels were sinking into the asphalt because it was melting. So every single opening of anything has always had, it's like a wedding. Something's going to go wrong. It just depends on what it's going to be.
So actually, towards Potter, there is a fair big swatch of land, though, that they are clearing now, you know, which with Dragon's Challenge, going by the wayside. And while nothing is official, I have read that I hate reading rumors, but when I read the idea of like a bike themed attraction that would sort of be like Hagrid's bike in the fashion of vehicles that Disney's Tron attraction is, you've got my attention. Like that's like a rumor that I can read and be like, okay, I'll tell me more. I don't know what they're doing with that land. Everyone has had their theories and their ideas. Forbidden Forest is of course something that I think a lot of fans would love to see represented. But I'm extremely excited because as much as I loved Dragon Challenge, which before that was Dueling Dragons, as soon as it wasn't Dueling Dragons, I was always like, oh, all right. We kind of got to, unfortunately, you know, the way people, acted on that ride kind of took away the fun of it. And I'm looking forward to something brand new over there. And I just don't see any downside to more Potter because that's fine with me. More Potter.
No, it's amazing. And of course, Harry Potter was the IP that brought it to life and or universal to the resort life that has become. I have no information or no insight as to what may be coming around the corner, but you got to know that they're going to utilize the intellectual property they have available to them for the maximum amount of revenue. So I have a feeling that we won't be seeing any less of Harry Potter. And of course, the Nintendo thing is sitting there as well, which that is officially announced. We just don't have detail, which is an exciting piece as well. So there's a lot of opportunities as long as they're putting the right amount of money in it. And as long as they're, you know, putting the due diligence to really throw together some really great experiences. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Nintendo is such a thing because that is like in the realm of Star Wars, like compared to Star Wars, that's global. Mm-hmm. Nintendo is a global brand for all ages. It has been for a long, long time. And the fact that it's going to be a thing. Now, there's no date yet on the Orlando or Hollywood version. Evidently they are going to be different. You know, it's not going to be plot for plot what is overseas, which I'm very excited about because I want to see what they come up with. And who knows, maybe by then Universal might have a little more land to play with or something fun in that sense. But Mario, I think they actually did say that a Mario Kart and a Donkey Kong themed attraction will be the two mains, or two, at least two that will be included. And
here or in Japan?
Here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but again, there's nothing but rumor and hearsay about everything that's going on with that.
Well, at the very at the least you can say, I guess, is that some exciting things are coming down the pike.
Yeah.
But there are things there too now that I don't think, if you haven't been there to see Diagon Alley, at the very least, you are really missing out because, and there are different pieces about Universal that I really enjoy. First of all, I'm an adult and I do like my adult beverages, and therefore I can, of course, enjoy my adult beverages in more places within Universal, which is, you know, kind of good for me. But there are things like The Simpsons, right? You can go into Moe's Tavern and get a Flaming Moe.
Yeah.
I just enjoy that type of thing where you can walk into a cartoon and you can sit down at the bar that Barney sits at and you can get a Flaming Moe.
Yeah.
Those are just little fun pieces to me. Or I think from a ride perspective, it's an oldie. It's been around forever, but I would cry the day that they switched this out. Men in Black is probably one of the best interactive experiences at any of the parks. I really love the competition between the people in your car and somebody else's car, and you're immersed in the movie. And I just love that type of attraction.
We have a pair of friends, Mike and Gina. They will, it does not matter what else we're doing. We have to go to the Mummy. You know, and even though like the visuals inside the attraction, you know, some of the digital visuals, they're a little dated and whatnot, but that ride, I think that's
some of
actually
the practical stuff still really holds
up.
Yeah,
the thing is, the practical stuff is what holds up. Yeah. The fire, you know, effect and all that, like, really holds up really well. There's still a lot. There's a lot to do in those parks, and I really wish that more people would just sort of take a trip with me over there, because
and I know that you're not a huge fan of Racer New York with Jimmy Fallon, but
I'm not.
But I do want to point out that let's taking the attraction or the ride itself aside, I think it's one of the best ways to utilize a queue that anybody anywhere has ever thought of. Yeah. Where you go in, you get a color, you don't have to wait in a line, you get to see all the artifacts from Tonight Show going way back when. And then when your color is called and you go upstairs, you're not waiting in another line. You're being entertained by hashtag the panda, and you're being entertained by, Ragtime Gals.
Yeah.
Different sets that they do. And you can sit and write your own thank you note. I mean, they did a really good job of finding ways to entertain you while you're waiting. Hats off to them for that.
I want to see what they do next with that idea.
Yeah.
Because that was a thing. Like, when I went on that attraction, that stuck out where I was like, oh, well, is this going to be the new norm going forward? And part of me thinks that, yeah, I do think that this is something that other people should look at and say, hey, instead of walking back and forth for the next 45 minutes, why don't we let people kind of walk around? I mean, they're still going to get in the same spots I need to get to. And we had about a half hour wait when we went, and it felt like 5 minutes.
Yeah. I really like that cueless. You know,
yeah, the cueless queue. Is there like an official name for that, Becky? Actually,
I should know that, shouldn't I? But I am not exactly sure. I was just so enthralled with it, and it was funny because I was up there and I was watching hashtag, and someone said, "Oh, the Ragtime Girl's gonna be next," and I looked at the guy that said, "Well, you know, lady, I'm sorry, your time is, you know, you're supposed to ride the attraction." I'm like, I'd like to stay in the queue for another round. Is that possible? Because I really was entertained by my surroundings. And, you know, you do, like you were talking about Pandora. I love that queue. But in the places that you want to stop and really take in some of the things in that queue, the line is moving. And if you don't move, you feel bad because the other people are behind you and they want you to move. And then you feel the piercing laser in the back of your head as people want you to move.
That's me.
And yes, probably was. But it was so cool just to be able to wander around and not have that pressure. And if you wanted to sit and stare at what's his name's genie hat for four hours, you could.
I saw people in there like sitting on the ground, and like part of my head was like, how long you been here? Because like they looked real comfortable, and I was like, I feel like you would have got called by now. And I just sort of wondered if they were just watching the clips, because we were just sitting and watching clips for a while.
And there's phone chargers up there, and there's, you know, interactive desks. And there, I mean, I really thought that was brilliant on their part, and I'd like to see it more too.
Actually, you know, we brought up resorts before. You know, you just said like how it's a resort and all that kind of stuff. I know that they're building a new hotel, but I don't know much about hotels. I admittedly am kind of hotel dumb. And I know that you know a lot about hotels, so
yeah. I will tell you, this is one of my favorite things about Universal Resort is its on-site hotels. And I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I actually think that they do have a leg up on their hotel experience over some Disney hotels. And I'm so thrilled with what I've seen recently. And first of all, Let's clear the confusion. Universal doesn't operate the hotels. Universal has partnered with Lowe's. Lowe's is a fantastic brand, and they have hospitality and customer service and what it takes to make you happy in a hotel down to a T. It's amazing how I can arrive at Portofino Bay, and I'm handed this little card that says, or actually even at their mid-range, which is Sapphire Falls, which is the latest, they hand you a card and say, if you have any problems at all, text this number. It's like, wow, I can text. I just have to text somebody? It's like, yeah, just text us. And they are constantly watching it. You can ask a question. They will answer you right back. Taking advantage of that type of technology so that you're not having to go downstairs and stand in a line to ask a question is amazing to me. And it's a simple thing, but it makes all the difference. The hotels that they have on property are a huge range. For example, you start at the high end, which is Portofino Bay, which is Italy. And you walk out there you really feel like you are in the south of just a little Italian Portofino Bay village. And it has everything from Mamma Della's restaurant, which has amazing Italian, to an outdoor lounge that you can just sit there and watch the water and watch the boats come in and out. And then they even have a an opera singer that comes out on one of the
balcony, right?
And on the balcony, yeah. And sing. It is fantastic. And when you are, I mean, this is their high end luxury resort, and their rack rate to stay there starts at $264 a night.
Yeah, see, seriously, and that's the big difference. You know, that the cost of the hotels over there. Melissa, when we went, we went to where were we?
We stayed at Sapphire Falls once, and we also stayed at Cabana Bay.
Bay, though, like in particular,
now, Cabana Bay. That is their low end entry resort. You walk in there, and it is it's got a bowling alley. It has has a lazy river.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's from the 50s and 60s movies. It's, from the beach movies, and all the old cars out front, and at the lazy river. And did I mention the lazy river? I love the lazy river. If you can't tell, but that place, it's comfortable, it's clean, it is exciting, it's entertaining, it's got great food options. For those Disney fans who are listening, it would be on the value resort level, but it's not.
It is above
and beyond that.
Yeah,
and
their
typical start rate is around 116 a night.
Yeah.
So, wow. And then you get those family suites that sleep up to six. And those start, I want to say, about $50 more or so. So around 150, 170 is a rack rate for those. It's amazing. I really love that resort.
And like, to be clear, you know, what I'm about to say, I'm not dumping on one and congratulating the other. But yeah. I've been to the value resorts in Disney. You know, I visit friends when they come over. I don't go there myself. my DVC will not allow me to. But the thing is, like, I've gone to those value resorts, and they do. They feel like value resorts. Mm-hmm. When we went and stayed at Universal, I 100% did not feel that way. Mm-mm. It felt much more akin to a moderate, and the view was ridiculous.
Yeah,
because we had a pure open view of
Volcano Bay,
right?
Yeah, that was gorgeous.
And I don't. There's definitely there's something going on. Like, if you wanted, if you were looking for a place to stay right now, I cannot say how much I would kind of maybe look in the Universal direction, because they just seem to be doing a really great job. And the new place that's opening up is what, Aventura?
Yeah, the Aventura. And that's going to be, again, in the moderate value type range. It's going to be out there by Cabana Bay.
Yeah.
And it's already, you can already see it going up, and it's going to open in August, I do believe. I was going to mention, going back to Cabana Bay just really fast, that view that you guys are talking about, I was lucky enough to not get one, but to tour one. And I stood there and just looked out. I was like, wow, I don't know if I would leave my room with that view. It was so amazing, of just watching Volcano Bay and everything going on down there and watching it erupt every once in a while. It's very cool.
Yeah.
And as someone who's not a big water park fan, you know, just personally, I don't know why, I'm just not a big water park person. Mm-hmm. When we were in that room, I was looking down, and I was like, yeah, you know, we should go. Like, it was like that's all it took. I was like, well, all right, I want to go here. I want to relax, you know, because it looks relaxing.
some of the best adult beverages are down there at that bar next to that water. So I'm going to say that Sapphire Falls, again, you said that you stayed there.
Yeah.
That's, again, they're moderate to lower end of all the resorts. And it is fantastic. I've stayed there probably 6 or 7 times now. And it's usually my go-to if I don't want to, you know, go up to Portofino Bay. But between the strong water tavern, which has a rum tasting, it's all coming back to alcohol all the time for some strange reason. But the food there is great. The options are terrific. And Cabana Bay and Sapphire Falls are the only two that don't offer the express pass, the unlimited express pass in the parks automatically. You would have to purchase the express pass. But for Royal Pacific, Hard Rock, which I'm going to get to in a minute, and Portofino, if by staying there, you get their unlimited express pass option that you go to the front of the line. So it's like having, for the Disney people who aren't aware, it's like having a fast pass for everything all the time, whenever you want it. So moving into the Hard Rock, Royal Pacific, or Portofino Bay is almost a no-brainer. But the Hard Rock, this one is my favorite. At first, it was Portofino Bay for the longest time, but I fell in love with Hard Rock because they changed the decor not too long ago, which was to a much more lighter, fluffier type decor, which I kind of prefer, like a darker wood and a darker tone. But at the hotel itself, it's supposed to be a musician's mansion. So the whole setup is it's a mansion owned by a musician, and you are walking into their living room, and that's why you see the guitars out front, and that's why you see the guitar and the amp and all the things that you can actually, by the way, get room service with a guitar. If you want to, you can order a guitar in your room and headphones and play all you want.
Yes, that makes sense.
It's so cool.
That all adds up.
And then you go downstairs, there is the kitchen. It is the kitchen of the mansion, which is one of my favorite restaurants on property. It is absolutely amazing. It's my go-to place when I want a really good Cobb salad. Or they have these desserts that are as big as your head. And I'm not kidding.
I've actually never walked in there, and I've been actually there's a very specific reason I should, and I'm a massive Black Sabbath fan, and I believe one of the guitars I have on the wall is Tony Iommi's guitar.
I've got all the Hard Rock stuff. So they do have different memorabilia that's all, you know, through the living room of the hotel. So when you walk in, think of it that way. It's the mansion of a musician. And then look around at how it's laid out, and it totally makes sense. So you walk into the living room, you can go to the back patio, which overlooks his fabulous pool area, which if you are underwater in the pool, you hear the music, which is really cool. And then if you like rock music, it is throughout the entire resort. So you always have this really uplifted rock music that lifts your spirits no matter where you are on property. And the cool part is it's less than a 5-minute walk to the gates of Universal Studios.
Well, also, they're building two more additional hotels, I know, down the line. And they have said, this was in their release, that those rates are going to be starting under $100 a night.
Yeah.
So,
look. It's fantastic to actually have something that you can afford and have a quality and affordability as well. And Hard Rock starts usually around $250 a night. Royal Pacific, which is more along the lines of their South Pacific theming, and they do have a luau there, and they've got different types of some of the best sushi options are there as well, and they start around $220. So Sapphire Falls, as we were talking about before, starts about $160, and of course those are starting rack rates. But I mean, that's a really great value, especially for the things that you get. For example, if you want to utilize the downtown City Walk area, you get the complimentary club-to-club pass when you stay on property too. So you don't have to pay a cover charge for those locations that have a cover. So it covers you there too.
Yeah. And I know, like, with annual pass holders, like, they're constantly putting out really good deals on, like, Cabana Bay and Sapphire Falls and stuff. Yeah.
When we stayed there for Halloween Horror Nights, I think our room was under 100.
Yeah, it was.
Was it? It was, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't when we first booked it, but then just like slowly but surely, like a chick got chipped away, and and they offered us, you know, an even better deal when we already had a deal in place.
Yeah.
So actually, can we talk about Halloween Horror Nights since I said it out
loud? Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Let's talk about it. All right, so guys.
All right, before we get there.
Yes, go ahead.
Let's talk about this, because they do seasonal things, and we'll get to fall in a second, but how about we can highlight the other ones just to put them there. Like right now, Mardi Gras is going on. So they have a big Mardi Gras celebration happening between February and April. In the holidays, November to January, they have all types of holiday offerings, including Grinchmas, and everything is decorated. They just did the thing with Hogwarts Castle and lighting that up over the holidays.
That was a nice show.
That was really nice, yeah.
In fall, they do Rock the Universe, which is the Christian rock bands come in. In January, they also have Harry Potter Celebration. Mm-hmm. And I was so thrilled. I get to do some fun things because I'm part of Universal's blog squad. And they took us there for the Harry Potter Celebration this year. And I had never done that before. And I am a Harry Potter fan. I've seen all the movies. I can probably tell. I know what house I'm sorted into. I am an uber geek when it comes to that. But this was amazingly fun because I got to watch all of these people in love with their Harry Potter fandom, dressed up with their wands, trying to decide which butterbeer to have. Some of the stars showed up from the movies, and they did panels, and different artists were doing chalk drawings on the streets. And I mean, it was definitely if you are a fan of Harry Potter, you've got to do the celebration at one point or another. It's worth the time, and it's so exciting, and it's so exhilarating watching all of the other fans really get into it.
I want to do that next year, but I also, that's going to be a thing where we're going to stay on property. We're going to do the whole deal.
Yeah.
Because there seems to be a lot to do. And I'm a crazy person where it's like, oh, is there a lot to do? I must do everything. So they afford you like certain packages that will make things a little easier to get to. Just like every other convention that's ever happened on Earth.
Exactly.
But for this one, this is basically, you know, if you've been to Star Wars Celebration, this is very akin to that. This is a Harry Potter con that happens in the parks, and they do a hell of a job, and it looks like a lot of fun. We haven't done it yet, and it's only because I've been slightly intimidated by the crowd and not having a room of my own, because I know what I want out of things. I'm very picky, and I have kind of a high level of, if we're going to go, we're doing it all. So that's one of the things that we're going to be doing next year.
Oh, good.
Because now two of them have rolled by and we haven't done it. And I want to go hit that up big time.
See, I'll say that I was kind of intimidated about the possibility of the crowds, et cetera, myself, being kind of tossed in the middle of it for the very first time. I was not overwhelmed with the number of people. It always felt very well organized and moving people from here to there. I never felt like I was, waiting in a line for 6 hours for something. You really do kind of get around and get to see everything that you want to see. And I really did enjoy it. So I'll probably be back. So after that, I guess let's go ahead and then move to the thing that we'll probably never stop talking about, which is which is the thing that drives Universal. And it's kind of an amazing experience, which is Halloween Horror Nights. And with all of the horror movies and the IP that these guys got have their hands around, it's an amazing experience. And you've got to like to be scared. Or at least watch other people get scared.
That was a concern for some people that went with us last year when we did the Halloween Horror Nights event, where basically just a bunch of us got together with artist Kevin John, KJ. And we had a couple of people who at first were like, I don't really like being scared. And not my pitch, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like trying to force them into doing something they didn't want to. But I said to them, you know, if you don't like being scared, you probably honestly won't get scared unless you want to be, because you're either going to be laughing because something just popped out at you and it's everyone else starts laughing at you and then they get laughed at because they get scared. You're just going to be laughing and smiling the whole way through.
That's very true.
And there were a couple of people who did not go last year because they were like, I don't really like that kind of thing. And from the report of people who have gone, specifically KJ, actually, and his girlfriend, Buffy, she's actually going to go now because he said, he was like, don't worry about it. Because he, you know, his expectation was unknown when he went in. And the minute that, you know, we were there for more than 20 minutes, he was like, oh, this is so much higher than I thought it was. you know, we go into that in an, I had KJ on the show maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I would say. And we go into, you know, a bit of a deep dive on that. If you're looking for something that just flat out Disney does not offer, and maybe you're a bit of an older gent as I am, and a parade and fireworks don't do it for you anymore to pay a premium for, you know, for a thing, I cannot tell you how much I love Halloween Horror Nights. And I think most horror films are bad. Like, this is coming from someone who, like, looks at a lot of horror films, and I'm like, nah, it's not that great. This event is the thing that now is the thing I look forward to every year. And the more I learn about it, the more I get excited. This year, they're already, you know, look, as soon as the one ends, the next one is already being built. You know, they're already working on it. And actually, Michael Aiello, who is the senior director of entertainment and creative development over at Universal, who started, you know, as, you know, just built his way up. He actually put out a tweet on the 21st of March. So the team is furiously working on HHN 28 treatments, ground plans, scenic artists, prop masters, all your technicians, all in various states of production and design. This is kind of the calm before the storm of construction and the full execution of the vision of so many. Fascinating cat. That would be someone I would love to speak to one day, honestly. But this is, you know, they're already working on it. They're already churning on it. And it has become the thing I look forward to the most every year, as I said before. One of the most fun parts is not knowing what's going to happen. Hmm. As in what's going to come. Again, this is pure rumor, and I can speculate on this just because it's, I'll just speculate on it. Stranger Things and It are things that possibly might be coming out next year. We were told by our tour guide, which I won't name in case he gets in trouble, that Conjuring was something that they have tried to a couple of years get, and maybe the odds of it coming out this year are a little higher. It's probably my white whale so far when it comes to things that I want to see at Halloween Horror Nights is The Conjuring, because we've seen Blumhouse featured so prominently in a number of years now. And for me, that crown jewel of their production company is The Conjuring. So I hope with high hopes that one day that nun will scare the ever-lived crap out of me. Because there are some things that just work on their own, and there are so many visual cues that I think, as much as I enjoy horror, I'm rarely ever scared. I'm more just having fun with the moment. The Conjuring scares me. Like, it visually makes me uncomfortable, and it, like, it scares the hell out of me. And I want that to happen so badly in a house. but the Becky, how many times have you gone to Halloween Horror Nights? How familiar are you with it?
Once. I've actually been there several times, but to actually get the ticket and go into the houses when there are people with chainsaws chasing me, one time, and I'm good. I am that person. I love watching everybody else get scared. I would rather be the person watching the sausage be made rather than enjoy the sausage. All good. However, the effects, the lighting, the amount of dedication and time that they put into this event every year is just mind-blowing. And I've done a couple of the tours where it's on a party night or on an off party night, but they'll let you tour the houses because each individual house has an IP, for those who don't know. So in other words, there's a different theme for each of the individual houses. And I've been able to walk through the houses with lights on, which is really cool because, again, I'm a backstage type person coming from the theatrical background, and being able to appreciate all of the effects and things that they put together in those houses is amazing to me. So I will go and stay there and spend a few nights just to wander the houses with the lights on to, again, appreciate the artistry and the things, the sheer amount of work and creativity that goes in putting it on.
Melissa, you're someone who also, not really a big horror fan, but you've now gone twice to Halloween Horror Nights. And
all right, let's tell the truth. Melissa, does he just like push you out in front of him?
No.
So that they're going after you.
No, I lurk.
So that's why he's not scared.
I lurk. That's the best. I lurk.
He's a lurker.
I walk just an extra second slower so that the person in front of me kind of like drifts a little bit ahead of me. Because if I had one thing that I wish was a little different at HHN, it is the amount of people that are being put through the houses per hour. Now, it's almost an unfixable problem because you have so many folks there. And if you didn't do it where like you're kind of right in behind the person in front of you, the lines would be three times as long as they are now. I would love to have an option for a house that is a premium house or whatever, and you pay a little bit extra, but much smaller groups are let in. They semi did this with a VR experience that I did not think was very good. But I do think that there's an option for a premium house experience, even if it's just one. I do think that it calls for it. But I mean, Melissa, the thing I don't push her in front of me at all because because actually I think that the scare actors are smart. They're watching. And if they see you trying to shove somebody in front of you, they're going to target you. So you don't want to call attention to yourself. Like, that's a bad thing. Like, you will get jumped on. But, I mean, someone who's not a big horror fan, you hate watching horror movies. You watch them 90% from under the, literally with a blanket in your face.
Yeah.
But how have you enjoyed this event so far?
I've loved it. It's always because we go with a bunch of people. I do think that's really the key is, you know, having, you know, three or four other people that you know around you, watching them get scared, being able to laugh with them when you jump at something, even if there's like nothing there, it's just a sound that you jump at because you're so, you know, on edge. It really does break the tension. And even though like I hate horror films, like I love going to Horror Nights because of the whole like group dynamic that we have.
Ups it. It makes it a big thing.
And I do. I love watching, like I love looking at the sets. I love seeing what they create, even though, you know, if you have something based on a movie, how they interpret it into a house format. Yeah. The one where we went through, what was it, Halloween 2?
Yeah, it was Halloween 2. There's a hospital one, yeah.
But like just the fact that you like went through his closet, like it was really, it was See, crazy that actually, cool.
That was one of the parts where, again, I usually just enjoy horror. I don't get scared. There was a part in the Halloween house near the end where I think it was Jimmy Styles was in front of me, and Jimmy gets scared really, really fast. He gets really scared. So yeah, no, it's yeah. You should definitely know that in advance. He sort of jetted very quickly. And I was walking at a normal pace, and I found without really noticing it, I turned a corner and I was like, I'm alone. And it was just the timing of entering this hallway, and then the music hit, the John Carpenter music hit, and it was a long hallway with flashing lights. And I was like, all right, I'm actually kind of scared right now. and that was great. Like for that fleeting moment of like actual honest, like, oh no, this is actually scary. I loved it. So in my opinion, I'm sorry, Becky, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know what I really like? More than anything, Minions.
I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you with the Minions thing.
Sorry, I love the Minions. I am taking this away from how Halloween Horror Nights for 2 minutes so that we can go back to talking about Minions. Because I like them.
Tell me about Minions, because I'll be honest. Minions to me are the Epcot of the Ewoks of this generation.
What?
And yes, that is my feeling on it.
You and I are going to like they do have a Minion meet and greet and a couple of, you know, places that we can go and have lunch or dinner and you can meet a Minion. Once you actually really meet one and hang out with one for a little while, you know, you tend to like gravitate towards them, and you might actually even, I don't know, have a bromance with a Minion.
I'll take you up on that challenge. I will.
All right. You know, you just need to be a little bit more cute and fluffy. Would you?
I am fluffy. I am more fluffy than I need to be, as a matter of fact. That's why there's a rowing machine behind me. But give me ET.
Well, speaking of that, the other thing on the resort, which a lot of people don't even think about, because when you arrive at Universal Studios Resorts, you park your car or you log or check into your room, and you make a beeline for the gates of the theme park, but you're walking past a whole bunch of other things that are available to you, like food, some of the best food options, and entertainment. A lot of people don't even know that the Blue Man Group performs there at Universal Studios, at the resorts, and they've got their own theater, and you buy, it's a separate ticket, but you can see the Las Vegas type version of their show right there, Universal. A lot of people don't realize it's there. And then restaurants like Toothsome. And I know it's got a big, long name, and I don't have it in front of me. But all I can say is Toothsome. And all I have to say is chocolate. Chocolate everything. Chocolate bread. Chocolate in every possible thing that you want or can order from the menu. But, and those shakes. Have you guys tried one of those shakes?
Shakes are massive. The whole world's gone crazy with huge shakes.
Oh, but they're so good. Cheesecake. Oh,
yeah,
that's my
good.
Favorite.
As long as they're cold, that's my only thing. Shakes got to be cold. But that was, you know, yes, ice cream's going to be
and
cold.
And the chocolate beer at Toothsome is always a really good find.
It's so amazing there. And I mean, Vivo Italian is one of the best Italian restaurants that I've been to in the area. There's a Mexican place, NBC Sports and Grill, Emeralds. And I've been here. I've had a couple of things off their menu, but Cowfish, the sushi burger place.
Cowfish was really, really good. We went a couple of times now. We've really liked it.
That place is good, too.
NBC Grill has actually kind of become one of the go-to restaurants for, like, just regular dining.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah, and, oh, my gosh, the brand new news. And I'm so jealous because you're now going to be closer to it than I am.
Yeah, that's right. It opened, I think.
Voodoo Donuts.
Yes.
And it's originally from the Pacific Northwest up by me. And these guys are amazing. And they have these sinfully delicious, donut-y, yummy things that are so good. And if they would just come without calories, it'd be so much better. But I fell in love way back when with the bacon maple bar that they started down at Voodoo Donuts. But they've come up with things like the Mexican hot chocolate, which is basically chocolate with cayenne pepper.
What? Really? What?
They have donuts called Oh Captain, My Captain, and Dirt, and Crackle, and oh yes, yes, there is a the container is a coffin.
Yeah,
get a whole bunch of them, which is really, hey, I need the coffin. Yeah, that means you get 12 donuts with bacon on it, which means you're probably going to fall over from a heart attack from getting calories. But seriously, guys, there used to be here in the Pacific Northwest, people would wait in line for 2-3 hours for a Voodoo Donut. So it really is a pretty big deal for those of us up here. So if you get a chance, you got to go try them.
I also want to give a really big nod to Breadbox. If you're not looking to do a sit-down dinner and you just want something quick to bite, a bite to eat, the sandwiches over at Breadbox are way better than I ever would have thought. I usually go with the smoky beef brisket, and I've actually probably eaten there the most just because I think every time they're so damn good. But yeah, like there's a lot of sit-down restaurants, but there's also a lot of pick up and go. Mm-hmm. In particular, if you want to just grab like a really great restaurant and some tater tots, I actually really, really endorse Breadbox in a big way. Probably more than any man should. because I've just really dug it over there.
Another one that... all right, it's kind of... Yeah, I know. Don't laugh when I say it, but I really love it. They still have a Bubba Gump shrimp there.
They do. That place has been there forever, right?
Yeah, and I love that place. For some reason, it's one of the great places for a group of people because you can go and ask all the questions and you know, going back into movie trivia, which is a lot of fun. But, you know, just to tie up the piece of the restaurants, I could probably stay a month there and not eat in the same place twice and really have an enjoyable experience between the restaurants that are at the resorts and the restaurants down in the City Walk area. There's so much to experience and in the parks too. I mean, Mythos is a really good in theme park restaurant, and I have never had a bad meal there. And Finnegan's, I really enjoy.
Oh yes. My God, that's right. We just went there recently. That was a total shock to me how good that was.
Yeah, that was really good.
They really do have some great dining experiences there as well. So I just kind of highly encourage, if you thought of theme park food as being the chicken nuggets and so forth, give this a try, because there's a lot of different experiences to be had.
Yeah, let me tell you, I am a fish and chips guy, and I'm very picky about the fish and chips. So we went over to Finnegan's. I completely didn't even know it was a full restaurant. And we went in and we sat down, and I ordered the fish and chips because I was like, well, this will be a good test. Number one, the guy who was playing live music played a number of old Dubliners tracks, so I was a fan already. He threw in a couple of Flogamali tracks, so mm-hmm. I was very, very happy camper. And then the fish and chips were phenomenal, which that is really my measuring stick on Irish theme places. Like, they've got to have good stuff like that. So yeah, wow, Finnegan's was a major surprise. That was sort of recent too, right?
Yeah, and I got the Cobb salad with Scotch egg on top. It was delicious.
Oh, I love Cobb salad. That's
good stuff. So we've got a fair amount of questions over in the group. So why don't we hit these, because some of them, guys, we probably already hit, and we'll just give a quick recap of what we said earlier, and we'll go from there. Matthew Lenzinski, I am so sorry if I'm saying that wrong, man. Where is Universal's next step with Wizarding World of Harry Potter? My thought would be an immersive hotel experience inside Hogwarts Castle. Would love your input. That would be incredible. I don't know about the space thing that we were talking about earlier, if that is a realistic expectation. But the next step with Wizarding World is the restructuring of what was Dragon's Quest. So we will see that. I'm hoping that we get news within the next year or so, a little bit more of a formal announcement of exactly as what's coming there. But to my knowledge, that is the next step, is that land in that area. Becky, am I forgetting anything that was already announced?
No, I think that, nothing that I can think of right off the top of my head. But I think that, again, anybody who's really interested in the Harry Potter experience should target that January Harry Potter celebration.
Yeah,
that'd be a good thing to do. You can make a whole weekend plus around that. And I can really, honestly, you could spend a whole day in those two lands.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Melissa, your sister did.
And going between the two, I totally forgot about the going back and forth on the train, which I absolutely love too.
Yeah, that's a cool little feature that just takes a lot of travel out of your thing. If you don't want to, walk too much, you can definitely get a whole afternoon's worth or day's worth. Yeah,
and one thing that a lot of people don't realize that I didn't know they didn't realize. It's a different experience going one way and a different experience going the other way. So they thought, well, since I've done it once, I don't need to do it again. No, it's a different experience both directions. So do it both directions.
The Dementors thing in particular, I think, is really impressive, actually, on that. Matt Richards asks, what is something that Universal gets right that WDW just doesn't, or vice versa? All right. So I'm not going to, I don't want to do the pitting one against the other, but I will say one thing. And I know Melissa is very in step with me on this. The benefits that I get with my annual pass for Universal are to the point that I'm amazed I get them.
Mm-hmm.
We signed up for the premiere, which I do not remember the exact price, but I want to say it's around $600 for the year, something like that. And with that comes, we can go to the parks whenever we like, obviously. There's no blackout dates with that pass. But we also get valet parking every day at the parks. That is massive. Unless there's a concert or it's Halloween Horror Nights, then you get preferred parking. And that's a $30 value valet right off the bat. $30 every time I use it.
Or the biggest thing also that helps is after 4, we get the express pass with our pass. So that helps because, if you're, local and just want to pop in, it takes, a lot of the wait time out, and you don't have to plan or anything. You just go in and hop on the express line. So I like that a lot.
Yeah. The express pass is a service that you do a little bit more for. You pay a little bit out of pocket for, but it is kind of, it's really worth it. Mm-hmm. to be able to just sort of use it through the whole second half of the day whenever I want to go, it just pays for the pass on its own. On top of that, I believe we get 15% off food everywhere. There's no like, not at this place, but over here you do, and not at this place, but over here you do. It's kind of a blanket thing.
Yeah.
And we've used that immensely, but that is sort of, if I was to point out two specific things, it is the parking, which, I mean, if you want to, I mean, there is a parking thing going on right now with Disney, if you want to, you know, look up on some websites, and the access that we get with Express Pass is just well beyond the norm that I would expect as an annual pass holder. So, you know, again, I don't want to go into a thing of like, you know, this does better, this does better. There are pluses and negatives, I think, to everything whenever you put them in a column. But two of the things that stick out to me immensely are those advantages that we get with the Premier Pass that we don't get in any sort of fashion over at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about like the hotels and stuff at Universal and things like that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's more affordable to stay on property at Universal than it is. And I do think that you get a little more bang for your buck. You know, I don't want to put Becky in it. I don't know. Becky, did you want to comment on this a little bit or?
Well, I would just probably say that one of the things that I do appreciate is the fact that those higher, not higher, I guess, the medium resorts and up do include that Express Pass.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think that is a really nice benefit for them. And the unlimited. So you don't have to choose. You don't have to say at 4 o'clock, I'm going to feel like doing this ride. You can just go at 4 o'clock and ride that ride.
Yep.
So that's probably one of the benefits that they have.
Oh, also with the Premier Pass, I actually get a ticket for Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
So that's another like $60, $70 value. So
there's
a ton of value that they put into their Premier Passes. Quite frankly, I am nervous that it will one day go away, some of these things. But while they're there, I'm enjoying them to the fullest. Tim Fisher asks, is Universal worth it for people who have younger kids? Huh. That's a tougher one.
Yeah, I asked him ages. I don't think his kids are as young as I initially thought. He said right now they're 8 and 5. I think that's actually a pretty good age range.
Yeah.
You know, under 4, you might have a little bit of limitations. You know, you might stick to only certain areas. Also, there's more height restrictions with Universal than obviously Disney. But that 8-year-old and that 5-year-old, I think, would have a lot of fun at Universal with Spider-Man and Harry Potter for sure, even Jurassic Park. There's a ton. I think you can take those kids there for sure.
I don't know what kids want. I have no idea.
I think it has a lot to do with what they're into, what the kids are into, because it is really targeted towards specific intellectual properties. So like you said, if they're really into Harry Potter, and that is that 8-year-old is definitely in that realm, Harry Potter is going to be a place where they want to hang out and be, and I've definitely seen that age range there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not targeting a 5-year-old demographic for Universal, to be just blunt and honest. There are things to do, obviously. They're just not creating an entire land, for the exception of Seuss,
yeah.
Pretty much Seuss Landing, for that age range. But it's not like they're going to be bored, because there's a lot going on and there's a lot of things to do and see.
Yeah.
Spencer has a question. This is a little more nebulous in maybe me answering it, but how do you think the ownership of Universal's theme park properties, which are now owned by Disney, and with more going through, if the Fox thing is, you know, if it actually, you know, everything is signed the dotted line, blah, 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 it's still going to take a little while. I understand the ownership rights are separate, but do you think at some point they will grow tired of advertising their competitors, which includes Marvel and now The Simpsons? I don't think it has anything to do with growing tired of advertising, because Marvel and The Simpsons brings in a lot of people. So no matter what, it still brings in a lot of folk into Universal. I do think eventually those things will go on separate tracks. I don't expect ever to see Simpsons pop up in Disney, but I do not know what the longevity of that Marvel is, which to me is is a little upsetting, because as much as I would rather, honestly, I'd rather see Universal move away from Marvel and do something brand new. but the Spider-Man ride is legitimately my favorite ride since I was 18. So losing that specific thing would be very hard, but maybe at some point Universal kind of stretches its legs.
It depends on what they replace it with.
That's the thing. It really depends on what they replace it with. Once upon a time, Peter Jackson and Lord of the Rings was a big thing for a theme park idea. It went to both Universal and Disney and never really caught ground. It all depends on what they bring in next.
Fantastic Beasts.
You know what? Yeah, sure. I mean, that's Harry Potter, though. I mean,
it's different. It's not England. Same. It's New York. It's
Come
New
York. On. It's the 20s. You know what? Spielberg Island. How about that, folks? Can we just, you know what? We can do some stuff with that. Christine asks, would love a short list of Universal must-dos. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Let's start in Islands of Adventure. I think Islands of Adventure is that's my favorite. Like, if you had to pit one against the other, unless it's Halloween time, and then it's Universal Studios. Whichever one has the, yeah. But I think actually the Dr. Seuss ride is a classic dark ride that doesn't get the Cat in the Hat. Sorry, yes. Thank you. I think it's a classic dark ride that does not get the love that it should from people who haven't been on it yet. I think it's absolutely fantastic. You absolutely must do Forbidden Journey. It is my favorite of the two attractions that they offer for the Harry Potter theme. The two big, e-ticket, if you want to call it, attractions. Both water attractions in Islands of Adventure, Dudley Do Right and Popeye, are two of the best water rides, I think, on planet Earth.
Just be prepared to get wet.
Yeah, yes. No, that
very,
is...
Very, very wet.
There's no middle ground on that one. You're going to get smashed with water. I think Spider-Man is a must-do for if you're in the Florida area. I think Spider-Man is a must-do. If you like roller coasters, I think Hulk is a must-do as well. Mm. Going to the other side of the park, Men in Black is absolutely a must-do. Gringotts is still a must-do, even though I favor the other one slightly. E.T. is a classic, in my opinion. It's also got the strangest damn ending to an attraction that you may ever see in your life. The Welcome Home song is a thing that you cannot describe. You must experience. Mummy, I think, is a must-do as well. And those might be, like, my must-dos. What do you think, Becky? Anything on your list?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I've got a couple of kind of strange off-to-the-side ones, but Men in Black is up there. Despicable Me, because I love Minions and it makes me laugh. That is actually just one of my favorite rides. It is so much fun. And there's a dance party at the end. So, you can't really fault anything that has a dance party. But one of the things that I loved, I laughed so hard. The Raptor experience. Have you done that?
No,
the dinosaur. You meet the dinosaurs?
I haven't. I did it way back when it was the Triceratops meet.
Oh my gosh! No, this is amazing, and I laughed. It had so much fun, and it tried to eat my head, and it missed. I had so much fun at that. Some of the you actually left off Spider-Man off of your list, so I'm going to add it really quickly.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. or at least I didn't hear it, and. The Simpsons ride, I really enjoy. And you have to, of course, be a little up for the motion. And one thing I will say about Universal is if you do have motion issues, go to the over-the-counter, talk to your pharmacist, get Bonine. Just get something, take it before you even go, because you will definitely, it will help you in any of those motion scenarios that you may have. I usually take one just before I do one of the VIP tours, which I know I'm going to ride all of the things with all of the screens, so I'm not bothered by it. Anything in Harry Potter, anything at all, go have a Butterbeer. Mm. I'm just going to go right off the side of a ride, but if it's a must-do, sit down and have a Butterbeer. And while Frozen is probably my favorite, the regular is okay. The hot's
the best.
Is amazing. And it didn't sound like it was going to be. It's like hot butterbeer. What? But It was incredible. So try all the three butterbeers. And I wish that those guys would come up with a flight, just a small little butterbeer flight.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So that way you could taste test them. It'd be very cool. You know, go into the restaurants, go into the Three Broomsticks and go into the Leaky Cauldron. Even if you don't have anything to eat, one thing I want to say just about Harry Potter on the side, because a lot of people don't realize this. One of the reasons why it is so amazing when you go into those lands is they are authentic to the story. You will not find a Diet Coke or a Diet Pepsi or any type of strange little candy concoction that does not belong in the wizarding world of Harry Potter. It is true to what would have been there per the books. And J.K. Rowling had a lot to do with the approvals of what could be and what could not be sold within that area. So you might find a very strange dish or two that are available in those restaurants, but you might find a discovery that you thought, oh my gosh, I had no idea that that was so good. So experiment, go have a meal in one or both of those restaurants is probably a must-do there as well. A must-do is to stay on property. And I think one of the things that I would add to it is just, you know, especially for those Disney fans who are like, well, you know, it used to be just take a shuttle over there and spend the day at Universal and go back. I really highly suggest that you just at the beginning of your Disney vacation or at the end, go over for one or two nights. Just spend one or two nights on property, preferably in one of the places that gives you that express pass so that in the seasons when it's needed, so that you can freely enjoy all of the rides without waiting in too many of the lines. And just take advantage of it so you can see the differences and tour the resorts and see the other things that are available at the resorts. One of the big, huge benefits about it is it's so walkable that you could easily walk between all of the resorts if you wanted to, between the major three anyway. But those are the types of things. It's not just riding the rides. It's experiencing what is available resort-wide, if that makes sense.
Melissa, how about you? Did you have anything that we didn't hit up on that list?
Well, in the parks, I would definitely say spend some time in Diagon, go down to Nocturne Alley,
eat
a really crazy ice cream contraption.
Flows!
At Flows, yeah. Throw some
chocolate
chips into some mint ice cream. Can't go wrong with that.
That's something that we do with our friends, Mike and Gina specifically. My friend Mike will call me up, be like, yeah, do you want to just go to Flows, get a butterbeer afterwards? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's our night. Our night is to just... We don't even go on the attractions, but we could because we have the premiere and we can just go on Gringotts if we want. But we'll sometimes just go just to hang out at Diagon Alley, grab ice cream, grab a butterbeer, and then go home.
Yeah. One of the things that I did last year, my sister's 30th birthday, and she just wanted to go to Harry Potter and do the spells. So we spent an entire day in Diagon and in the Wizarding World, and she just did all the spells with the interactive wand. Yep, and I did it with her, and it was just so much fun to just do that for an entire, you know, day. So,
oh, and yeah, you know what? If you're a Harry Potter fan, I cannot stress enough, you got to see the wand show.
Oh,
Ollivanders,
yeah, and you have to go see the puppet show about the Deathly Hallows. That is actually one of the best. I think it's one of the best entertainment things in the Florida area.
The Little Bard.
Yes.
That is really cool.
Absolutely love it. I love those puppets. I think they're just, they look, if you know the movie, you're going to know what they look like. And I think you're really, really going to enjoy it. It's one of the more impressive things show-wise that I think any park has.
We didn't even talk about any of the shows. It's the first,
we kind of forgot about it. Yeah.
There's a lot to do.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. That's why this is not going to be the last episode we do about this, guys. I'm going to be doing this a lot more, going into the details on specific attractions and stuff like that. Rich asks, and we kind of answered all this, but we'll see if there's anything we want to throw in just extra, maybe just specific details about the last part of his question. Have you ever stayed on property? Yes, so, you know, we said before we have. Comparing it to Disney hotels, I will say value-wise, it's a little more attractive. I personally have not done the higher end hotels at Universal, and I have, you know, stayed at, you know, a number of the, what's what I'm looking for?
Deluxe.
Yeah, the deluxe hotels and DVC resorts over in Disney.
You mean the villas?
Yeah, the villas and whatnot. Yeah, so I haven't really gotten to that point where I can compare that for Universal. But in particular, Becky, I know you said this before, you know, do they have the perks of being on property like Extra Magic Hours? So just to solidify what you were referring to before with the Express Pass.
Yeah, there's a few things by staying at one of the Universal resorts on right there at the location. For the top three, Portofino, Hard Rock, and Royal Pacific, they have all of these, but sometimes it varies for Cabana Bay and Sapphire at this point. But they do have resort charging all the way across property. So you don't have that issue of, you know, where can you use your key card to charge. The transportation, obviously. They do have the delivery purchase to your hotel. They also have a golf program, believe it or not. And then they have the complimentary club to club at City Walk. But they do early admission at Volcano Bay and Wizarding World for 1 hour prior. So that is a huge benefit, especially in those higher end or higher occupancy times. That was the word I was trying to look for. Especially if you're looking at Wizarding World, because that is the place that people make a beeline for. Yeah. So if you can get in there an hour early, that's pretty awesome.
Tim has an additional question. This is a good question. I like this. What about the immersion factor? When I go to Walt Disney World, I find it very easy to shut out stress and gloom that can come from this world and just enjoy the magic. Can Universal do this too?
I think they do.
I don't think they can. I think they do.
Yeah, I think you're there to have fun. You laugh. Like, I've laughed more when I'm at Universal than like I am when I'm at home hanging out with friends, you know, even if it's just a night we go to just ride the water rides and just laugh at each other for getting soaked out of our minds.
Water Ride Wednesdays. That's an actual thing we do. It's Water Ride Wednesdays where we just go and hit Popeye and
Dudley Do-Right,
the Ripsaw Falls. And that's a Wednesday night. You know, I think they don't try. It's two vastly different parks. The feel of Universal Studios is a backlot feel, where the feel of Islands of Adventure are specific themed lands that you go into and you're surrounded by. So, you know, you can kind of get a taste of each one. I think immersion factor, I would say, is maybe greater at Islands of Adventure, but the most immersive land in any park in Florida is Diagon Alley, which is in Universal Studios.
I would actually say that that's probably the most immersive land at any park in the U.S.
Yeah, see, you can answer that. I don't have that, unfortunately, on the West Coast. I have not been to the Islands of, you know, Universal Studios over there. But I don't see how anything beats it.
If you want to shut out stress and gloom, like, Universal does it 100% too. So, don't worry about that.
Yeah, there's no thing like that. So I no worry towards that one.
And if you just want to relieve stress, just go on Men in Black 20 times.
Yeah.
Also, if you really like roller coasters, what's the crazy roller coaster? I've only done it once or twice.
Rip Ride Rocket.
Yeah, the Rip Ride Rocket. And in particular, look up online how you can play different music. Because it may not be listed. It's weird. You have to look this up.
It's like the Starbucks secret menu.
There's like a secret menu of songs on there. So I've ridden that thing. I believe it was to For Whom the Bell Tolls. It was a Metallica track.
That would be a good one.
Yeah. And it was, I was like, okay, I can ride this. This is phenomenal for this reason.
One of the best tracks, if you don't know which one you want, but you just think, oh my gosh, I just got the Beastie Boys track.
Sabotage? Is it Sabotage?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That works really well too. And if you
really
want to go super like odd, you know, against what your eyes are seeing, you can find the Rainbow Connection from the Muppets, which that's something to do. Let me tell you, that is really something.
Oh, wow.
Final question here is from Ed. But you know what? Actually, I'm sorry, Ed. As you said, you're piggybacking off of Spencer's question. If when the Fox deal goes through and Disney grabs the Simpsons, what will bring Universal to the table? What finally brings Universal to the table with theme park properties? Or are we stuck in the situation for the long haul? You know what? Unfortunately, I just don't think there's an answer to that yet. Theme park rights are a very weird thing. So I don't really, there's nothing I can even speculate on, because I think that Universal is going to look at, if they're going to bring in a new IP, I think it's going to be something that, again, reaches for a different crowd than, you know, than normally, like, you would think, like, Disney would go for something like that. Even though Disney with Star Wars and Pandora, you know, it's a different age on that one. But I legitimately do not know. I don't even know. Maybe that thing just isn't a property yet, you know? Maybe it's something that's coming down the hill, because really we haven't seen it grown for another couple of years with films and whatnot. So it's just going to be a wait on that. But I do, it's not going to be a quick solution. I don't know if that's even a possibility. Because if it was a quick solution, the Marvel thing would have worked itself out by now. So
yeah, that's,
you know,
so complicated. There's so many different pieces, and there's too many moving parts right now. And we just kind of have to know that I know nothing, but I completely have this just gut feeling that I'm sure there's conversations happening. And again, so many moving parts, it's not an easy answer.
Yeah, let Nintendo happen first, because I think that needs to land first in the States before you know, Universal is going to be willing to say, hey, we're going to close down an entire area. You know, I don't know if you can do that, unless it's going to be for Nintendo in some strange way. I don't think that you can shut down a land like that without having something immediately on the fire. So, unfortunately, it's just going to take some patience out of all of us and just see where it goes from there. Becky, did you have anything you wanted to throw in just to kind of wrap up?
You know, I would just throw in that last encouragement of, it's okay to like them all. Anything that you will benefit from, that your family would enjoy together, don't think that it's not okay to try other things in travel. And not just Universal, not just Disney, but there are all kinds of locations around this country and around this globe. Great vacation experiences for families and couples and groups and multi-generational. Keep your eyes open, because if I don't ever want to take anything away from Disney or anything away from Universal, but there are so many experiences out there. Open up your eyes, travel, see this world, enjoy it. If for right now you want to take those baby steps and go from Disney to try Universal for a couple of nights, go for it. Or the people that are the other direction. There's some people who are big into Universal and haven't really gone over to the Disney side, because they have this preconceived notion that's all for only small children. There's all kinds of things at the Disney parks to enjoy too. So, excuse me, just open up your mind a little bit and go try a different experience, even if it's just for one or two nights, to see how it fits you and your family. And then just enjoy the time together.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason we have annual pass to both parks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's things to enjoy for everything and everywhere.
Yeah.
Only one place, again, has a touch of Steven Spielberg. So I'm sorry, but that's just... It's immeasurable. Like
he is Mecca to you, isn't he?
He is. The thing is, like, that's a real thing to me. Like, that's something that when people talk about, you know, Walt, like, Steven Spielberg to me is a modern day Walt Disney. I really don't think that people appreciate it enough the way that they can. But I think there's more than enough room for you to have fun in this world. You should absolutely check it out. And, I'm just saying, probably a trip around, you know, Halloween would be great. You know, just saying. It's a lot to do. Some things you could do around that time. But thank you, Saga, so much. We're going to, you know, I'm going to be going talking about Universal a lot more here and there, as the show continues. I want to do some, you know, as I said, like specific attraction reviews, some more dining stuff over there, because there's actually a lot to get into over there. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, keeping up, because there's a lot of news that's going to be happening with Universal lately. And I feel that we've kind of neglected it, and I don't know why. So if there's more fun stuff to talk about, then I want to talk about it. So that's what we're going to go from here forward. So Becky, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening. I know you're very busy. You're always traveling. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day for joining us on this week's show.
Well, thanks so much for having me again. I'm very excited to talk about anything that comes to travel, and especially my favorite places in Orlando. And of course, we do have people ready to help you with your vacation off UniversalFanTravel.com or MEI-Travel.com. We have a division that specializes in Universal too. So if you go to the mei-travel.com. There are jump points there that take you either to our Disney specialty, to anywhere else around the world, or to Universal. So we are happy to help anyone who wants more information.
And thanks to everyone who put up the questions in the group this week. That was very helpful. I hope that you got some answers that you like. And once again, just to remind you, next week's show will be different. It will not be the show you just listened to. It's going to be totally different. We're going to talk about different things, and you'll actually have to tune in to listen to it. So once again, next week, different show. Just letting everyone know how that works. I'm very excited about it. Until that happens, of course, this episode of Disney Magic Hour has been brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning news, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, any cruise, traveling anywhere around the globe, and of course, exploring Universal, visit the experts over at mei-travel.com. Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. As always, you are listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/PogoMix. His website is pogomix.net. And you might be welcoming Nick onto the show in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully that all works out timing-wise. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. We're, of course, on Facebook. We are Disney Magic Hour. And we have a larger page for Last Gen Podcast. You can search for that, too. You can find this show on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And Melissa, once again, where are the pictures in the Patreons?
On Instagram, we are at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And if you head over to patreon.com/Disney Magic Hour, you can find ways to support the show there.
Till next week, folks. Have fun. Be kind. Life is chaos. Have a good time out there. And we hope to see you in all the parks very, very soon. Till then, though, say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Becky.
Good night, Becky.
Good night, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo.